Hi, welcome. My name is Linda Fitch, and I'm your host for the She Heals Global Summit. This is an online virtual event bringing together an extraordinary group of women who are creating transformation, change, and healing in the world. All of these women are graciously sharing their wisdom, their tools, their practices. This is all about your transformation. It's about assisting you to become the very best person you could be. Healing techniques, all this that's for your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit. So again, this is all about you and your transformation that they're sharing. And today I'm super excited and delighted to have with me Dr. Christine Page. Welcome, Christine. Thank you for agreeing to be here.
Thank you, Linda. And wonderful to be part of this summit. I know you have some great speakers and a wonderful audience, so it's my pleasure.
Yes, and I'm going to go through your bio so our listeners can get, for those of you, to hear a little bit about her, besides that amazing, beautiful accent. So, for 40 years, Dr. Christine Page has been a pioneer in holistic, soul-centered health, with a passion for seeing and treating the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. As a healthcare practitioner, natural intuitive, and wisdom keeper, she's been called a mystical physician, gifted with both healing and intuitive skills. During her medical career, Dr. Page engaged in many fields of healthcare, creating one of the first integrative health centers in Great Britain. Today, she travels the world offering seminars and online courses on subjects including embracing women's mysteries and trusting the loving voice of intuition. She is the author of 9 books, holy cow, 9 books, including Frontiers of Health and The Heart of the Great Mother. Her topic today is healing from the inside out. So first off, that beautiful accent from Great Britain. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so tell us about this place. I love that topic, the title of that, healing from the inside out, particularly from a physician.
Yes. So just a brief description of my upbringing. I was brought up around homeopaths, healers, holistic medicine, channelers, very much part of my background growing up around London. And my mother was from Scotland, and she and my grandmother, my great-grandmother, were always seen as what they call fae, which means being more intuitive, the wise woman. And so there were many descriptions of my grandmother sitting with other people of the village or the town and giving advice. And I saw my mother doing the same. So the idea of women being more intuitive was very strong in our family. Mm-hmm. And when I was brought up, well, when I was born, I always thought everybody could see energies around people. And it caused me quite a lot of distress because I didn't know which person I was supposed to be talking to because I could see so many different sub-personalities. And I went on to become a doctor, and that was kind of a strange thing because one of the problems I had was picking up on people's suffering. I didn't have good boundaries as a kid. I didn't know I had to. And what I went into medicine, it was this one of those soul decisions where you went, okay, I've got to challenge myself to not faint every time I feel anybody's suffering. But being a doctor was ideal. I mean, I love it. I love all the things I did. I've delivered thousands of babies, done surgery, done everything. But after a few years of being in medicine, I realized that I went into medicine to help people to become whole, which is really the message of holistic medicine. And what we were doing was putting people on tablets, on pills. And 80% of my patients were on pills. And I thought, well, this isn't medicine. This is just suppressing the problem. And it's not really seeing that the healing is coming from the soul. The soul is calling us to listen when we get sick. So I then became a homeopath and took on other arts like nutrition and counseling. And I managed to get 50% of those people off any treatment, including homeopathy. And I thought, this is really my focus. And then as I moved forward, another 10 years maybe of doing that, I realized that I was attracting a lot of what I call professional patients, that they were not being asked to do anything for themselves. They saw one person on Monday, and me on Tuesday, and someone else on Wednesday. And it was nothing about the empowerment of themselves or looking at themselves. It was all about someone else fixing them. And that's really when I became I did more teaching, more writing, and also started to help people to understand the body loves them, the body's their friend, and that when they get sick, it's not punishing them, they're not being attacked by something, but the body is saying, I will get you to stop, you will change direction. And that's really where my teaching went, from teaching people to listen to their body, body-mind situations. And then I have really focused for maybe the last 15 years on women and women's empowerment, women's embodiment, because sadly, I see women getting sick. And we seem to take it for granted that 65% of women will have PMS or premenstrual problems, or 80% will have menopausal problems, or that women are having breast cancer or heart disease. And we just go, oh, well, that's just part of it. And as a doctor, my heart breaks, because it says, no, this is not normal. If we're getting sick as women, especially, I might say, my young women, you know, clients, because you should be at the top of your health, not getting sick, not having cancer, not having heart disease. And so I see women being so stressed and strained, and being told that their empowerment comes from outside them. That if they go to the gym and they eat properly and they push forward, and it's like, that's not what women are about. That's a masculine energy. Nothing wrong with that, but we need to balance it with our feminine. And so this is what my message of healing from the inside out is. Let's return as women to who we are, what's already inherently in us as an empowering feature. And that's why I brought that subject to us today.
All I can say is, wow, holy cow. So take us in then, for our listeners, how did that, I mean, everything you say just makes sense, Christine. And I mean, I've got 25-year-olds that push strong and they go to the gym and, you know, they eat right and then they get sick.
Yes. Ah. Yes. And so, this was two of my books, The Healing Power of the Sacred Woman and The Handbook of Women's Mysteries. And I'm only saying that because I'm really passionate. Yeah. When I wrote the Healing Power of the Sacred Woman, I really stepped back and I looked at what it is to be a woman. I first called the book In Search of Woman, because it's like, what is it? And because of my background, I went through mythology, anatomy, physiology. It might not sound interesting, but it's like, if we believe we are created in the same image of the Great Mother, and I'll call it the Great Mother, with all our curves and everything else, then our body must have the answers to our empowerment. And I realize, you know, the very first thing I'm encouraging any woman to do is get back in rhythm with herself, because I'm watching women do a 24/7 job. They've forgotten that women are cyclical. And whether you like it or not, the reason we have 65% of women being described as depressed or PMS or anxious and they're going on drugs is because we're not meant to be doing the same thing every day of the month. And that, I could just say, the week before your period, the week before the dark moon, if you no longer have periods, and what is the dark moon? It's the time around the new moon. That week before, you shouldn't be taking on new projects. You shouldn't be visiting other people. You should be going inside. You should be nurturing yourself. You should be reflecting. And we've gone so out of rhythm because someone will say to me, well, I can't do that. I've got a job. I'll lose my job. And it's like, whoa, that job is important to you, but nothing's going to shift in the world until women get back into rhythm with themselves. Because creativity comes when we have a winter, when we have a dark moon. Everything in our world shows us that we're cyclical, and yet we've lost that, especially as women.
And I would say really lost it. Like I would say even some of my clients, I mean, they wouldn't even be able to tell you when those dates are.
Exactly. And you know, we are, you know, you can hear my passion as a doctor, because I'm a good doctor. So when I hear doctors putting young girls of 15 and 16 on the pill or being given an injection because, hey, you don't want to be bothered with that period thing. It's, you know, are you going to get pregnant? No, you don't want children. Let's inject. Oh, my goodness. Let me just say that we have been taught that having periods, having a womb, is just about children. And that's so wrong, because we have on average, I could say 450, 480 periods, everybody, in the every woman. We have 1 to 2 births on average in the world. Can you think that the great mother, God, whatever you want to call the creative source, would have given us 470 chances to have 2 children? It's so outrageous that we have been given this fake news that all we're about is babies, and that all the reason we have is to have periods is to have babies. Every month, every woman gives birth to a new dream, whatever age you are. And if I could just say to you that when you've had your period, or when you're in the middle of the new moon, you could say, yippee, I'm giving birth to a new dream. That would be fabulous for me.
Right. Just to change our way of seeing it.
And we're, you know, we've been flatlined out of this. We've been told you don't need a period. So if you're on, you know, so many I know of our listeners will have had injections, patches, pills. Just connect back to the new moon. That's the time. And you might say, well, I don't even know when that is. Get a calendar. There are so many apps. Get a calendar. Know when that new moon is. And on that day, start to realize that you are going back into your cycle.
Yeah, I have a, well, and this is, I have one of my clients has a beautiful 16-year-old that she's thinking about putting her on the pill because of her hormones. And she's anxious, depressed, whatever mom is concerned about, and just says, what else can I do? Yeah.
I have no problem with anything. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I was on the pill, you know, and I understand there's a freedom that women were received when the pill came out in the 60s and 70s. But I think that we were conned. I think that we were given a freedom which actually shut us down to who we were as women. And I'm not saying, you know, I want women to feel safe when they're for sexuality, but again, I could go in, we might get into that. We don't want to be letting anybody's energy come into our body. So right. I'm just saying we've been told so many things that have made us devalue our body, devalue who we are. And a 16-year-old is still developing. I would say your periods may not be regular until you're 18. And if you're getting depressed and anxious, it's not because of your hormones. It's because you're being pushed, not necessarily by a parent, but you're trying to fit in. And our hormones just are flying up and down. So if we could just teach our 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, even before they start, that if they get back into rhythm with themselves and they feel empowered as a woman, rather than feeling ashamed or that they have to fit in or pressurized, then their periods will be much more regular.
Okay, so this culture that has that masculine model,
yes,
which, you know, let's do the job, let's get all the things done, let's do all those, And we do want that. I mean, you still got to pay the bills, but then this place of being able to go back into rhythm.
I know.
How do our listeners,
Okay, so I do want to say these are big steps, but if at any point, and I have clients who say, I'm not enjoying my life. I'm not enjoying my children. I'm not enjoying my partner. I'm exhausted all the time. I want to just say, just there's a few things like I'm talking about, is if you could just mark your periods, maybe just start doing that. If you don't have a period, then as I say, find the time of the new moon. Just if you could divide your period time, that month, up into 4. And there are apps that do this, but I'm also, you know, going to be running more and more on Facebook, just trying to get women to understand that they are the queen bee, they are not the worker bee. I'm meeting so many young women who are trying to be everything for everybody. Right. And the problem is, we're not being clear about what is our role in the family and what is the role of our partner or our children. We're trying to do everything. Because we're still driven by the old messages, even though we say, oh, I'm nothing like my mother or grandmother. Well, I have to tell you, when you were in your mother's womb, your eggs, which are your dreams and your ideas, were marinating in your mother's emotional soup. And her eggs were marinated in her mother's soup. So we carry as women, excuse me, I'm getting excited. We carry 7 generations at least of women's ancestral messages. And even though we might say, I'm not like my mother, I'm watching women act as if they are still in the role of their grandmother, but trying to do everything as well.
Well, and we know it happening worldwide.
Yes.
During those 7 generations. I mean, even if we just look at the culturally in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, there's a mythology about one of the goddesses called Hera. She's also known as Juno. And that's why I look at mythology, because you might say, well, it's not my culture, but it gives us an idea that Hera, everything changed around the beginning of the patriarchy. And again, it wasn't just one day it happened, but we could say 3,000 years ago, later than 3,000 years, women and men lived in harmony with each other. We all knew what we came here to do. We were living in what we call egalitarian societies. Linda, you teach all about this. We were not, it wasn't a matriarchal, it wasn't patriarchal. It was everybody having a role and they knew their role. And the role of women was to be the spiritual leaders. And you could take the word spiritual out, literally the women were the inspirational leaders. Around the time of their period, around the time of the dark moon, the new moon, they would be downloaded with information about this is what we're going to do this month. And that information would go out. That's why I want women to be queen bees, because that's what we're good at. Yeah. We're good at clearing out the old, sitting in the heart of the great mother, and then being inspired with a new idea. And we would come out of our tent, our red tent, if you want, and we would say, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do this year, this month. And the men who are very good at physical things and planning, they would go off and do it. And everybody would be happy, because the women would know what they were doing and the men would do what they were doing. And at the end of the month, men would come back to the women and say, okay, we've done this. And we would all celebrate or whatever. And then the women would go inside again just before their period. And they would then say, okay, what do we need to let go of? And what do we need to refine? And off we'd go again at the beginning of the next month. And I'm saying that because I was coming back to Hera. Hera was the goddess of relationship. She was the one that held everything in balance. But when the patriarchy came in, we ended up with Zeus or anybody around that level, the sun god, becoming the more powerful and almost denying that feminine intuition, that inspiration. And what happened was that Hera felt disempowered and learned that she could only be powerful as long as her husband was powerful. And I'm coming right now because that was my generation. I'm older than many, but my mother said, the boys are more important than girls. Boys have to earn the living. All of this stuff.
Great.
And what I'm sad about, Linda, is that I'm meeting it in my 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, who might be an entrepreneur, earning millions, but they're still putting the pressure on themselves that there is something about their relationship with their men, their husbands, that they have to somehow give away energy to that.
Or even their own internal masculine.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I see single parent women, women who are single parents, putting that same emphasis on their sons. Right. That I have to boost up my son in order for him to be successful. So women, women are giving an awful lot of energy to their men, where really, I'm not against that, but the men need to be the sacred warrior by the woman. And I think men are having challenges to be able to know where they fit in to this woman who is superwoman doing everything. Right. And my husband says, there's nothing more beautiful in the universe than a woman in her power. And he said, and I've heard it from so many men, when a woman's in her power, he will do anything to serve her. But when a woman's acting like a mini man, which I see so much of, then she's just competition.
Right.
And therefore she feels hard done by. And when she's not acting either in her power as a mini man, I'm sorry, but they don't value her. So if we want our men to value us, which I think we do, and we want our men to change, we have to step up, not in the powerful way that knocks them out of their life, you know, where do I fit in? But much more is like, okay, the queen bee's at home. She's getting inspired. Off you go, do it.
Right. And even in that internal place, if I'm understanding that with our own internal masculine, is that great, that's okay.
Yeah.
But let me bring in the place that's been ignored.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that we go back to the old messages that we've received from our mothers or our grandmothers. Unfortunately, there's so much wounding of our feminine. And as you say, when I talk to many women, they don't have a great view of women.
Right.
They see women or men looked at their mother, you know, she was this, she was that. And that's what we need to heal. We cannot create a new world, the world I talk about in the book, from woundedness, because all we do is create more woundedness. So that's why I'm all for people really tapping into their own wound and finding healing for that, but not creating a new world based on your own pain. It's never a good place to start.
Okay, so we start with at least a calendar that we know when those cycles are. So we're allowing this to come back into balance.
Right. And maybe I just talk those four weeks, I'll call them. After your period, after the dark moon, the 3 days, I'll just keep talking about the dark moon. The new moon is the middle day. So you see that on the calendar as a black. If you have the right calendar, it's got this sort of black circle. That's the new moon. The day after you is what we also call a dark moon, because you don't usually see any moon in the sky. I have to say, last night I was so excited. I saw this tiny sliver on this third day of the dark moon. But there are 3 days when you don't see a moon in the sky, the middle of which is the new moon. So on that day, that third day is the day when you get inspired with new ideas. On the third day of your period, it's the same. So I'm just putting that in. Okay. If you're on the pill or you having any hormones, go use the dark moon as your balance point. Forget your periods that you might be having because of your artificial hormones. All right. Yeah. So after your period, after the dark moon, you have until the full moon or ovulation, which is around about 11 days after the end of your period, are the days when you really are creative. So you want to get out in the world and you want to think, what do I want to develop? This is where we are today. So I'm into my projects and what do I want to get into the world? So it's a developmental time. It's what ideas do I want to develop? At the full moon or ovulation are the days when we literally present it to the world. Ta-da! So if you want to dance around at the full moon, you're kind of dancing for yourself. It's like, yay, look what I'm doing. And then for that next week, what you're doing is social media. That's a great week for social media, networking.
Get it out in the world.
Get it out. It's fertilizing your ideas. So at the full moon and ovulation, you're literally just you're releasing that egg into the world. That's sort of the word I'm thinking of. And then the week after, the social media week or the fertilization week, you're like, oh, let me tell you what I'm doing. Let me. All right. Now, then from the literally a week or 5 days before your period or before the first day of the dark moon, stop trying to do new projects. Step back. Come inside. And what you're asking yourself is, based on what I've done in the last 3 weeks, what am I celebrating? Yay! What have I learned about myself? And that's what I say, bring it into your heart. What do I know more about myself? Wow, I'm actually an okay person. Or I met the part of me that gives my power away. Doesn't matter what you meet, but what did you find in yourself? And then what do I want to let go of? And it might be a relationship, or it may be a story, or it might be, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then you go into the dark moon, and all that is or into your period, that's a time for just really being reflective and saying, what do I want to birth for this next time? And so the period is really that the blood loss is a cleansing of you, but not because you're dirty, but because you are washing away any separation you have from the Great Mother. That's all it is. And as a part of this ritual, I'll just complete this. On the first day of the dark moon, if I don't have periods, which I don't, I take a glass of water, put my hands around the water, and I infuse into the water all the things I'm ready to let go of. I then pour that water onto Mother Earth, and I say, please take and transform, and then say, I'm empty. And then I root into Mother Earth, and I get filled with new inspiration.
Christine, I love it. And it explains sometimes where, you know, if I'm just in that masculine, I got to get these things done, why it's like, it feels like such a fight. And then why sometimes it's such a flow of creation that's happening. Yes. Yes. And then sometimes I'm like, I just got to wait. I can't do this. That's so I actually put it on my calendar and yes. put it on a schedule where you're in the rhythm and you're in the flow.
And you just imagine if women were saying, well, actually, you're going to get a better deal from me after my period. Right. So if you want me to really be productive, not now.
Right. Yeah. Or it's brewing or.
Well, I would even just say I need to go inside. You see, we don't allow that. It's like the breath or the heart. You know, women are getting heart disease, which they never got before. It's because the pumping of the heart is the outward masculine, but the relaxation part of the heart, which takes the same time, is the nurturing, the progesterone, the very thing we need and women often lack why they get PMS, is because they lack that nurturing, and the blood vessels get nurtured on relaxation. So I know, you know, people may be thinking, oh, I can't do this, I've got a job. But if you value your creativity and your power of your creativity, you will say, you know, I'm going to be much better after this if you just give me some days.
Well, and I think people do it anyway. It's just when we're trying to push it, there's nothing creative happening, and we're just beating ourselves up.
Exactly. So, you know, and I want women, as I say, to feel like they are the powerhouse for inspiration. Right. And we are going to be so much better when we do it this way. And and what we do, and this is again part of the indigenous stories, was that not only were you letting go of what you had finished with, the men would come to you and your children, but they don't have a period. So we devalue periods, but that washing away, and again, we've used the word cleansing, it's not because you're unclean, but what you're able to do with your period or with just pouring water onto the earth is literally release old patterns. So before a period, the men would come and say, look, I'm finished with this part of my story. And the woman would say, well, what have you learned about yourself, et cetera, et cetera. And then they would say, could you let go of this for me? So the women would say, I'll do it during my period, but you have to serve me during my time, which was wonderful. You'd go off into your red tent or your sacred place, and the men would take care of the kids during this time. Now, obviously, women are working, they can't do this, but if we could just put over this idea that that first day of your period is a day when you're so powerful because you are transforming beliefs into blood and releasing it. I mean, how powerful is that?
Well, and it's a total flip. It's a total reframe instead of like, oh my gosh, it's this curse here now, this right yes. now. I can't have sex or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
So the whole reframe of like, oh my God, I have this incredible gift. The universe is helping me release. Yes. And not only that, I can help
exactly.
you too.
Exactly. Yeah. So then this last piece, I know that I've had women say, I don't know if I can get this far. Okay, so in an indigenous culture, and I was taught this by a dear Native American friend, because the men were handing you things that they wanted you to cleanse from them, you shouldn't touch food or prepare food for them on that first day especially. because otherwise the food you're touching is putting back into their food they're about to eat all the things they want you to let go of.
Right, you're just reinfecting, you're not releasing.
So they, no Indigenous man would eat the food of a woman who is on her period.
Right.
On a moon time. And now the women go, well, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I know, I've done, you know, if you explain to your husband, I'm in such a powerful place at the moment, you don't want to eat the food that I prepared. Cook for me or take me out for a meal, do anything.
Right.
And if you're on your own, just prepare your own food. But it's lovely if you've got daughters and they have their periods that they prepare food for you on these days and you do it for them. A real sisterhood.
Well, it just makes sense that you wouldn't care. So they've given you something to release.
Yes.
And that's a gift.
Yes.
And your gift. So you don't want to give that back to them.
Yes. And of course, it's something they're trying to get rid of. They don't want right. it. So as you say, you're giving them a gift. But it's also that you're so powerful. That's why, again, the Native Americans would not allow someone to touch anything that's sacred in their culture when a woman's got a period, because she'll break it. You imagine the power of turning a leaf into right. blood, you know. Amazing.
Right.
It's the same. I say, look, if you imagine how powerful it is, we take it for granted, a few cells becoming a baby. Wow. But beliefs into blood, it's doing the same thing. It's just going in the opposite direction.
Right. Sweet. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Okay, so. How do we do this? So I can get definitely put on the calendar, right. get the steps where you do that.
If you only took two steps, one was, you know, the full moon, which everybody gets obsessed by the full moon, but truly the full moon is our masculine celebration. It's our outward expression. Opposite it, 14 days of opposite is the new moon. And that's the time when I really want us all to pay attention.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, as I say, that can be the third day of your period. I don't want to get, if it's all too much, just make it one day. But if on the third day of your period or the third day of the dark moon is your time for sitting with your journal and saying, what do I want to do this month?
Yeah.
And then just let that go up to the full moon again, if you know, or it can be ovulation if you know that that's 11 days after the end of your period or whatever. If your periods are regular, 28 days, that's what I'm describing. But don't get too obsessed with this. If your periods aren't regular, go with the full moon and the dark moon, you know?
Yeah. And then on that time, then you're doing that.
After the full moon for 5 days, you're into your really spreading the word of who you are, how to fertilize your ideas. And fertilization means meeting with people. That's networking time. But then in that week before your period, a week before a dark moon, recognize your energy is going to change. So, you know, as a homeopath, there's two remedies we use often. One is called sepia, which is the ink of the cuttlefish. And this is like women who go, leave me alone, go away, I'm exhausted, I'm depressed. And the other thing that we use is lachesis, which is snake venom, which is the women who spit, you know.
Oh, right. Right.
So some of us feel like, oh, leave me alone, and others want to go away.
Right.
So I'm only saying is if you're starting to feel you need the ice cream, you feel exhausted, you feel spitting, oh, I must be coming up to the new moon, or I must be coming up to my period. Back off. Tell the children, you know, give children jobs to do, but also don't think of I should visit this person, or I should go, because your energy is not into going out. It's the coming in.
Yeah. Oh, and the glass of water is.
And then on the day of the first day of the dark moon. So if you look at the new moon, it's got that little circle on it. The day before is the day when you may have written it down in your journal, but I go out inside, put my hands around the glass, and I say, you know, I'm letting go of. So name it. Pour the water on Mother Earth, and saying, please take and transform.
Beautiful. Okay, Christine, so how do you have this as part of, I know you have an online program, a book.
I do. I have three levels of this because I obviously needed to do it. I originally wrote it's written as a digital book called The Handbook of Women's Mysteries.
Okay.
And it has five meditations that go around it. And I know sometimes people say, oh, I don't need the meditations. meditations help us to go inside. So they're very simple meditations, but there's something, again, inside is our healing, not reading a book. So I really wrote the book in order to emphasize the meditations and the practices. So the book is on as an audio book. It's also as a written book, because I ended up also self-publishing it. So it's a paper book. The meditations are as MP3s, as CDs, a workbook. And then I created an online course that goes much deeper. But, you know, I love my women going through these, what we call six gateways, going deeper and deeper into clearing, owning, empowerment. And that's the online course. So it's kind of, you can take it at a very simple level, but it's the same teachings, just get further and further into the inside out.
Yeah. So tell us some stories of some clients and patients of as they've stepped through that, where they have, you know, this still hold the masculine, but, yes. You know, where they've brought this up into balance.
So first of all, just working with their cycle in the way has really helped a lot. I've had women get pregnant when they couldn't get pregnant. And one of the things that I do a little deeper into the book and also into the course, so the whole of my teaching, is about emptying your bowl. So here's another meditation for your listeners. Imagine that your womb, and again, if you haven't got a womb, I've always got to say you have an esoteric one and an energetic one. So imagine your womb is this wonderful bowl, and it's full of potential, but when it's full of old stories, old emotions, there's no room for anything new to come in. So what I emphasize is the emptying of this bowl. Now I need to take a few more steps back for this, but I'm going to do this. First thing I want women, I really want to encourage, is this following your rhythm. Second thing is recognizing your intuition. And I've been intuitive all my life. I say to women, do you think you're psychic or intuitive? Oh, I don't know. I don't really know. Maybe I'm an empath. Every woman is highly psychic because psychic is the ability to pick up on information outside you. And this is a pattern that I see for many of us. Women see what someone can become. That's their first psychic ability. And I hope people are listening and going, yes, that's me.
Yeah.
So we not only see people, but because we are transformers, because we're cyclical transformers, that's what we do. Every month we change. And we expect everybody around us to do the same. So we say to our husbands, especially, and our partners, I love you, now change. So it is so common for women to meet someone and want to change them, okay? And they do that, and I'd be really interested to know how many of your listeners are following me on this. You have the eyes to see what the potential is. And without realizing that, that's your psychic gift. The next thing we do as women, unconsciously, because we haven't been told any differently, we get out our vacuum cleaner and we clean everybody we meet from the old emotions that are not working for them. And we do that through the center we call the chakra center, we call the solar plexus. So we literally say, I know what you can become. Let me clean you up and you can become it.
Well, and I could bet we've got tons of listeners that go, oh my gosh, that's what I do for my kids. When I listen to my stories, my employees.
And so one of the reasons we do it is we do say, I love you, now change. Secondly, we almost, a very deep inner belief in every woman is to bring people to a level of wholeness. Mm-hmm. We believe that unity is important. This is another name for this is called love. I love you. That's why I'm doing this. What we're actually saying is, I love you. I'm trying to connect you to your wholeness. So let me do this. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's what we're told. If you're a woman, you love people. I'm not saying men don't, but it's inherent in us to create, want our the people we care for to become whole. I can't say it in a more in a different way. I won't get involved, but this is sexual energy. Sexual energy is to take duality into unity. Not wanting to get too lost in that, but I just want everybody to realize that when they meet people, our inherent journey, our purpose is to bring wholeness. Okay, so we've met this person, whether it's our child or our husband or someone outside, we see what they can become. We don't even recognize we're doing this, and we already have the vacuum cleaner out. Now, part of our problem is, I hope everybody's following on this, is that women are so sensitive to other people's feelings that one of our reasons for getting the vacuum cleaner out is that their feelings are upsetting us.
Right.
And as an astrologer, I'm talking especially to anybody who is Cancerian or Scorpionic, because all of us have a sensitivity to other people's feelings, which is why we start to say, let me clean you up because you're making me feel bad.
Right.
So if you're a Cancerian or you have Cancer in your astrology chart, you'll be the person that gets the tissue out and says, please stop crying, you're upsetting me. And we call it the fixer, the pleaser, the rescuer. And we say, oh, well, of course, this is my job. I'm a mother. Well, it's not. So what I want to kind of make sure I'm speaking the language that says, I love the fact you're intuitive, but I need to create better boundaries. We all need to create better boundaries to say, just because this person's unhappy, it doesn't mean they want to change.
Or that it's my job.
So it's depending on which one you go, it's like, it's not my job. But so many times we're stepping into other people's sacred space, right, believing, as you say, it's either my job or why would anybody want to be unhappy?
Right. Or it's so unconscious.
It's so unconscious. So, unconscious. You know, this is why I wrote the book. I mean, the Handbook of Women's Mysteries, why I've got the workshops, why I've got the online course, because this takes time to recognize, oh my goodness, that's what I'm doing.
Right.
But it's so addictive. We've been told for so 3,000 years, this is what you're meant to be doing as a woman, that we don't even know we're doing it.
Right.
So that's why praying that maybe just start to write down in your journal, wow, I do know something about that person. I know what they're feeling, but I don't have to fix the problem. And then women always ask me, well, what do I do? Ask them, are you feeling unhappy? Are you happy? And if they say, there's nothing wrong with me, back off.
Right.
And then ask yourself, I've got to say, if this person is already always what in Britain we call a misery guts, you know, if they're always moody and miserable, do you ever want to be around them?
Right.
Because women are constantly staying in dysfunctional relationships because they believe it's their purpose to fix them. All right. And if anybody's listening who's got Scorpio in their chart, there's often that feeling that when things don't work, it's my job to put it right. I have to work harder. And it's not true. Women are we're so bad at saying, how does this serve me? Does this relationship give me pleasure? Does this give me love? I mean, do I feel fun when I'm with this person? Or does it feel exhausting? So we often stay in dysfunctional relationships, whether it's with our parents, our partner, our friends, our children, because we think we should.
Right. Or culturally been told that.
Exactly.
It's your duty. Wife. Right.
So we never speak up and say, well, actually, I find your energy really quite difficult to be around. And I'm asking you to change because this is not going to work for me. So this is that psychic bit. So we're going to get back in rhythm. We're going to recognize our psychicness. Now, what happens when we use our vacuum cleaner? We take that energy through our solar plexus, and this is this big energy underneath our breasts, and we move that energy down into our sacral chakra, which is where our womb is, because what we inherently do is, I'm going to clean this person up, and I will empty what I pick up at the end of the month with my period. That's what women know how to do.
So
But, what's happening is nobody told us to empty.
Right.
So we're full. That's why I had to tell that bigger story to come back to my bowl being full of, I could use a, you know, a swear word, but full of other people's emotions.
Right.
For life, for hours, for decades, you know?
Well, and it's one thing I use with my clients a lot, or teach with students, not mine.
Yeah.
Which is that place of just intuitively recognizing, oh, not mine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't clean the bowl.
No, it doesn't. And I've got to say, is I meet a lot of women who say, I'm just so depressed. I go, it's not yours.
Right.
So you're right, you know, when you say not mine, but they don't even know they've taken it on.
Right.
Because it's happening so naturally.
Right.
So this is why for some, you know, I like to say on that first day of your period, you can imagine taking your bowl out, taking it down to an ocean. You can go down to an ocean or a lake if you want. And tipping your bowl out and making sure everything's out of it and putting it back empty so that when you bring in this new inspiration, you've got an empty space to receive it.
And how that in our cycles as a woman that we're built for that.
That exactly. So we are meant to, you know, be empty. That's what I'm doing at the new moon when I empty my water. I'm literally emptying my bowl. Connecting, and again, this is something I haven't yet shared, but connecting with Mother Earth and then filling myself on the third day. But if you're already full and you're already full of stuff that isn't yours, there's no space. And then you wonder why your life is, you know, not working for you.
You know, it's really interesting as you're talking, Christine, I have this image, some of the shaman I study with, whether it's Shipibo or whether it's Kinadetis in Northern Perth, they all have this, or even in the high mountains, the Keto. They have the same metaphor of going to the ocean, going to a river, going to a lake, and emptying and sending all the stuff, calling on the Mama Kocha, whatever to call on it, and emptying. It's that exact same analogy.
Yes. And, you know, I will say that I'm inspired by this. You know, I feel that I'm inspired by all these wonderful Indigenous people because when I've traveled with, you know, some Indigenous people myself, they've often been male teachers. And what's interesting, they've described how you breathe into the earth to let go of something. And I thought, I've had to say to them, well, actually, as women, we don't need to do that.
Right.
We are made to bleed onto the earth. And I thought, how interesting the culture got into the masculine having to use their breath to clear. But women are meant to crouch on the earth and bleed on the earth. And if you don't want to do that, you might go, ooh, I'm not going to do that. Just understand that you are perfectly formed to cleanse yourself. Now, so for some women, I'll say, I want you to empty your bowl every night, you know? And I kind of think it's interesting that when we go to bed at night, most of us take off our day clothes and we might put on night clothes. But isn't it interesting that the metaphor is that we take off the day clothes? So when you take off your day clothes, you might have a shower, whatever you do, imagine just emptying your bowl, cleaning it out. And then when you sleep, you're going into that space of what I call the connection to the Great Mother, the connecting to Mother Earth. And then when you wake up, you're being inspired with a new day. Fascinating.
So it's even that dark of the night is like that dark of the moon.
That's right. And even the breath, you know, you breathe in inspiration.
Yeah.
Breathe out, emptying. And I have found that the most powerful things that I have done, especially when I was going through my menopause, was hold my breath out.
Mm.
And when you hold your breath out, and anybody can practice that as they're listening, you actually, it's hard to think.
Right.
But if I breathe in, I can think. But if I breathe out and hold my breath out as long as I can, there's stillness. Mm-hmm. And that out-breath holding is the same as the dark moon, the nighttime, all of it. It's the same wherever we look at. Three phases of everything. Three, the magical number of women.
I have loved the number. I mean, I've done a lot of exploring on that place. A three, I love this one. Yeah.
And that's why women wake at 3 o'clock in the morning, right, is because it's our least connection to Mother Earth. Three is the time when we're least connected to the physical world. Physiologically.
Yeah.
So and so it's a wonderful time for women.
Well, and I think part of it is I'm just sitting here, that reminder that when we're in that place of the internal, is that doesn't mean we're binge watching Netflix or doing anything like that. It really is the time to go internal. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, if we are escaping, if I may say, into binge watching or anything, it's actually escaping from ourselves. Mm. So it doesn't have to be all day, but is it okay if I just talk about day two? I've talked about day one.
Yeah.
So day one is the emptying. Day three is the inspiration. Day two is this middle day. It's the new moon, the second day of your period. It can be that out-breath holding, or it can just be going to bed. It is about that ability to enter mystery. And what I found is that I'd run workshops called Entering Mystery, Enjoying Entering Mystery. My goodness, what a challenge that is for us to go into the unknown. Mm-hmm. Because our masculine, we all have it, we all need it. Our masculine defines us, gives us identity, gives us purpose. So what I'm saying is that when I empty my bowl on the first day, I'm saying I'm letting go of all identities. I'm merging back into the ocean of possibilities. And it's so interesting how we sabotage that. Well, I haven't got time to do that. I've got something busy to do. Because our masculine is terrified of the unknown. And yet for a woman especially, we can't wait to go there. It's like a drop of water going to the ocean. Can't wait to get there.
Right.
It should be this magical time. It's not about meditate. Oh, now I should meditate. She's telling me I've got to meditate. No, I'm not. I'm just saying have a day when you've no plans. Just have a day when you allow the day to evolve. Have a day of nurturing if you want, but a day when you're not fitting yourself back into an identity that gives you a sense of the known, because that's what is your power. So every month, and I will repeat that, but I will come on to that. But every month, women die to their old identity. Therefore, this might sound strange, but if you let go every month of who you have been in the outer world and return to your inner world, whatever you want to call it, you're very threatening to anybody who is dependent on the outside world to define them.
Yes.
So women's power doesn't come from boxing or learning. It comes from the ability to let go every month. Because if someone says, if you don't do this, you're going to die, you say, hey, I do that every month. What the big deal?
Right. Well, and how we so easily take that mask and, oh my gosh, I have this day. Let me fill it with all these, or hour or two hours or 3 hours, and fill it with all these to-do things.
Yes. And it's, if we can just see how it locks us into some, if you can imagine that we, if we just keep, how can I say, if we never empty, we never create something new. So if we even look back over the last 2,000 years, that's a long time, but just to say, we haven't created anything new. We're doing the same thing, thinking we're going to get different results. Well, and that's the definition of stupidity, you know. You know, going to war. Oh, I know. Let's go to war against this. We're not doing anything new. I'm just saying is, if you look at the power of women is to create from this amazing ocean of possibilities, something that has never been created again. That's mystery. Excuse me, created before. That's mystery. But the masculine in us, which comes from our mind, only can create what is already known. It's our heart and our womb that creates something that's new.
An absolute surrender, because if it's known, then it's already in the other map.
Right? It's no value. So that's why women were so highly valued, because they could literally surrender, let go, dissolve away their old identities, and move into a space that is amazingly different.
Right.
But if we hold on, we're really saying, I'm just going to keep doing the same thing that my mother did and my grandmother did. You know, it's like, wow, I wonder why I keep having the same sorts of relationships. Nothing's changing.
Yeah. Well, and how unconscious that is.
And that's why in my work as a doctor, I say illness is the call from the soul to make a change. But it's not how doctors or other practitioners necessarily look at health. They look at how do I fix the problem to make sure the person never has to change their path.
Right.
And that's I think that's unethical. We should be saying, wow, what a great opportunity for change.
Right. So we were talking about this. So you do one-on-one?
I do one-on-one. I do what we call soul readings.
And readings.
Occasionally I get people who are sick and I'm not a medical intuitive, but because it's not of my interest, but I am a soul intuitive. And I'm saying, I wonder what your soul is saying. And my first book, Frontiers of Health, was written on that, which was that every illness has a message, not that you're doing something wrong, but an opportunity to do, to change your life.
Right.
And in the olden days, when I was a young doctor, we would keep people in hospital for 2 weeks with a heart attack or a hysterectomy. Now they're back out doing this, back to work the day after.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. When do you ever have time to breathe out and think, again, what do I need to let go of that is not working in my life? It's so, you know, we're not treating people with respect, and we need to say, go away for 2 weeks and find out what it is that's going on. So question I always ask people who come to me who have got an illness or had an illness, what was going on in your life when you got sick? And I've had people who have never read a spiritual book in their life, and they say to me, I know why I have cancer. And I go, well, if you know why you have cancer, why are we not listening to you? Instead, we're doing all these tests. Or, and they'll say, I needed cancer for this reason.
It's my wake-up call. It was, I knew I needed to make the change.
Yes, we all know that, you know, so the body is the friend of the soul, not the personality. You know, the body says, I'm sorry, I've listened to your personality. It's not working for me. We're going to do something. And then we all complain because we got sick. And you, the body says, I've been telling you this for months. So we see illnesses as needing to be fixed. We feed the drug companies, which really it's about, no, it's not, I'm not against drugs. I'm saying it's not that you're lacking something or something's happening that's out of your control. You created the illness in a positive way to help you to make changes. You're not guilty. I'm not blaming. I'm just saying this is a positive. I developed breast cancer 8 years ago. I'm not blaming myself for that. I developed it in order to bring about change in my life.
Right. To answer that wake up, to do the change.
Yeah. And I was stubborn enough, like many of us, that we didn't want to change.
I know, I've been there.
Well, it's just like, no, I do
want this, but
yes,
I'll keep doing that.
You know, I'll do that later, you know, and it's like, my soul loved me that much and said, you will listen.
Boom. Yep. Right now, girl, actually. Sweet. Okay, so give me those words. I just thought they were so beautiful. So that day two is that.
Okay, so let me come back to that, Linda. So yeah. Day one is the emptying.
Yep.
You pour onto the earth, or you release onto the earth, whatever you're going to do. You could even bleed on the earth if you want, but if not, just say, I let go of everything that keeps me separate from the Great Mother. That's what I want you to understand. That's what the bleed is about, or the pouring is. So you're returning to the ocean of possibilities, or the Great Mother's love. Second day, you root yourself. Now, this is my next piece. I found that rooting yourself is not the same as grounding. Grounding is very masculine, is the way I see it.
Okay.
So let me just say this, and I'll put this into this wonderful talk, I hope, that people are listening to. When on day two, put your feet on the ground, or just do it any time, take your awareness to your feet. Many people don't even know where their feet are. So take your feet. Imagine you have a magnet on the soles of your feet. Imagine that there's a greater magnet in Mother Earth and she's pulling you into her. And then allow yourself to develop roots from the soles of your feet and let Mother Earth's beautiful soil surround your roots. For many people I meet, if they've had a bad relationship with their mother, they have a bad relationship with Mother Earth. So just this very act of allowing something bigger than them, called Great Mother, Mother Earth, surround their roots and support them, not suffocate them, is the healing in itself. So I would just say, I mean, I do it all the time. I'm like, oh, I'm in my head, magnets on the soles of my feet, and allow, it's like emerging. You could call the word surrender, but it's like coming home, lying on the earth if you want, lying on, you know, whatever you want to do, but know that she loves you. And that even if you've had bad experiences and you don't trust your earthly experiences and you've said it's been a difficult life, Mother Earth is not the one that's punishing you. Come home to her. Then on the third day, we've talked about being inspired, but here's my last piece of the meditation. At the end of your route, one of the longest routes, you imagine that there is what I call the root chakra. Now, anybody who knows about chakras often calls what we call the base chakra at the base of your spine, the root. That's not that we'll keep that as the base chakra. The root chakra is 9 feet under your feet, 3 meters, 3 yards. That is where I call dragon energy or creative golden energy flows through that root chakra. We got cut off from that root chakra again during the time of the beginning of the patriarchy, where we killed the dragons, killed the serpents, and we brought all our energy into our bodies to that base chakra. I want you to root yourself and find that root chakra. And as you do, don't have to go anywhere else, but bring golden light up through those roots, through your legs, into that empty bowl you now have. Bring this creative energy, inspire your ovaries to create, to release an egg, bring it up into your heart, bring it out the top of your head as if it's the most beautiful golden bubble that surrounds you. And you can do that when you get up in the morning, root yourself down to your base, your root chakra, bring up the energy. Just put yourself in a golden bubble before you go to work. And then that's your 3 days, or your breath, or your getting up in the morning. I hope that's all clear.
Oh, it's beautiful. I can just feel it. Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, so did you give this as part of our, the audio meditation?
I've offered an MP3 called MEP, Optimizing the Energy. So that's exactly it. So to do that any time of the day, when we're in fear, we often go up into our head. It's the least functional place we can be. Mm-hmm. Getting just rooting yourself, people will respect you. I'm very much into being respected. I don't care if you like me, just respect me.
Right.
So if in doubt, if you feel you're not being respected or you feel out of your running around, root yourself. Just put your roots into the earth. You then have Mother Earth working with you. You're not alone anymore. But if you really want to bring new energy and you feel that you just you're a bit exhausted, bring that creative energy up around you.
So Christine, this would make an awesome journal. I don't know if you have anything like that in your 9 books, but what a great thing to have marked out by that rhythm and the cycle, and then what you could do within each one of the.
I certainly need to do that. As I say, the Handbook of Women's Mysteries, I have itemized all these things I've talked about.
Okay, great.
So that, because they're not, if you don't empty your bowl, there's no point in bringing up the light. If you don't realize you're psychic, there's no reason. If you don't stop vacuum cleaning everybody. So I have in my handbook and also online really tried to itemize why we do these things and how to stop doing them if they're not functional for us.
Okay, perfect.
And that's why in my online course, it's a 6-month, it's already recorded, it's an evergreen, but it's a 6-month training. There's a private Facebook group I run, but really it's because it takes us 6 months to really get into this rhythm,
right?
If not longer, but it's really, you can't do it 1 month and say, I've done that.
Right.
This is like, no, I commit to 6 months of really spending time on these processes that I've talked about.
So until they become habit.
Until they become habit. And, you know, you asked me about, examples. I've got many women who are doing this, and they feel more empowered. As I say, some of them have felt more able to separate from their family, so they're not feeling totally responsible for everybody.
Right.
To be more respectful, that's really what I want, is respecting ourselves more.
Yeah.
And respecting ourselves because look at who we are. You imagine how this world would change if women became what, I'd like a different word, but the spiritual leaders, the inspirational leaders, and not many men. And one of the things that I know the difference between a woman who's doing her work and really clearing out that bowl and a woman who isn't, is that a woman who is working, her power is in her womb. When a woman works from her power place within her womb because she's working to clear it, she doesn't speak from her throat chakra.
Mm.
So a woman who speaks from her throat chakra, and I have to say there's a lot of those around at the moment as I'm listening to people on the television, and they speak up here and they like this, and then they get higher and higher, and then they're screaming because they haven't got any power in it.
Right. Whereas or oxygen coming in. Right.
Yes, and you can hear the difference. So when a woman speaks from her womb, there's rhythm. There's emotion.
Yeah.
Often we say much less. And again, that's something I practice, is like, wow, am I speaking up here because I want you to hear all the words I have to say and I want to give you lots of information? Or am I speaking from down here and saying, I know you know what you're doing?
Right.
It's so different.
Yeah.
So even again, rooting yourself and letting your voice go down to your womb, which is now empty. It's not full of woundedness, because that's why women don't go down there. Because there's so much there that they've picked up over the years.
Right, or they're caring because they come from that family line. Or
that's right. I mean, you know, that again, right. Over my 6 months training, or even in the book, I go through all the levels. I could, you know, I don't want to go into that today, but there are so many things we put in that womb that we don't even know are there. And part of my new book, The Heart of the Great Mother, I go into quite a lot of detail about the Virgin Mother crone. Again, not necessarily wanting to go into that, but we have three different levels of us as women. The virgin, the more inspirational, the mother, the nurturing, the crone, the releasing we're talking about.
Yeah.
But we also have archetypes of those that we need to own.
Right.
Now, how comfortable are we with our dreamer? How comfortable with our nurturing? Do we nurture ourselves? And how comfortable are we with the power of part of us that says, enough, we're not going to do this anymore?
Yeah.
How scared are we of our own anger, our own, oh, I couldn't say that to someone.
Right. Without high breathing and not being okay with it. Right?
That's right. Again, and they're all intuitive. And when I talk about intuition, it's not, you know, you don't need to go to a class. What you need to say, what is the most loving thing I can do for myself in this moment? Am I meeting my own needs? Or am I just meeting the needs of others? Do I even know what it's like to enjoy life anymore?
It's that nourishing, that renewal, that feeding yourself.
And it's not this, I know, you know, someone will say to me, oh, but I have lots of massages. I'll say, when I developed the breast cancer, and I heard, you know, well, it's about self-love. And I thought, well, I do have massages and I do this and I do that. But what I found with my breast cancer, and this is very typical, is I had lost the self that needed loving.
Yes.
And I think that many of my girlfriends, many of my clients, we lose ourselves in other people.
Yeah.
And we're trained to do that. Think of other people before you think of yourself. Your purpose is to serve your family. But,
well, even taking on of the other to put it in the womb, but we don't
have
it in the womb. We don't do that.
That's right. And then I hear women say, oh, I don't do that. I'm very selfish. I do that. And it's like, no, now you're coming from a very wounded place.
Right.
When you come, women are natural communicators and unifiers. So that's why when we go into a restroom, we often find ourselves chatting in line about, you know, your shoes or your hair or...
Right.
Women unify all the time. Men, when they go to a restroom, they don't talk to anybody. Women's power comes from unifying. Men's power comes from being actually respectful of someone else's space.
Yeah.
So what I've got is, I think we always pretend we're all together, but we're not. So many of us may have experiences with a mother or a sister or a friend where we felt betrayed. or we didn't trust, or we felt that we were in competition. And until women heal that part of ourselves, we won't hit that glass ceiling. I'm honestly, women need to unify. So when someone says to me, I don't have any women friends, I'm thinking, that's not good. Because it's not natural to our feminine. And if you don't trust women, then you're unlikely to trust your own feminine and your own Mother Earth. And we do feel better when we're around each other. We don't have to necessarily hug each other, but talking is how women get on with each other, looking at each other in the eyes, touching.
Asking the kind of question, talking about the kind of stuff. It's like, I've asked my husband, what do you guys talk about?
That's it.
The whole, like, the deep dive. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the bonding hormone oxytocin works well with estrogen. And basically, when we're stressed, we need to call someone, we need to talk, we need to hear them going, oh, I'm so sorry, you know. But in the presence of testosterone for male, actually it opposes that. So men feel stronger when they're in their opposition, when they're not bonding. Women feel stronger when we're bonding. So there's a lot of healing that can happen that makes us as a group really the leaders of the future. But we need to do it not from competition, not from woundedness, but from genuine caring for each other as sisters.
And in the rhythm.
In the rhythm. And we can only do that when we're in our own rhythm.
Right.
When we're in our rooted in Mother Earth, when we've moved beyond the fear of, and distrust of maybe what we experienced when we're in the womb of our own mothers or after when we were born. That's why, again, I do a 6-month training, because sometimes we have to go back and say, what was going on?
Right.
When I was born, when I was being marinated in my mother's emotional soup, what was happening?
Yeah.
Because we can't clear it until we really understand, wow, my mother was so unhappy then. Or I came out and I started taking care of her as soon as I was born. No. So we repeat those patterns with our girlfriends and sometimes with our men friends as well.
How rich, how fun, how amazing. I'm sure we're way over time because this has been so fun. But I do want to make sure everybody, so www.christinepage.com. We'll have that link here. It has that beautiful audio that's part of that meditation with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then, I'm going to get out my calendar. I'm going to dig out the new moon. I'm going to look at the moon schedule. I'm going to put my little time frames right on my calendar. Thank you.
Very good. And I just will say that now you've inspired me. I need to look at creating a journal, but it's a journal really that's got to be going deeper and deeper. I think that's the way. And I'm also about to create a Facebook group. So if anybody's, my Facebook group is Christine Page, Dr. Christine Page. And, you know, to come and share these things, because I feel this is the time. This is a really important time, not for women to be against something, you know, it's about, this is our time, ladies, let's go for it.
And we could spend even more time talking about the astrology that's happening in the stars.
Yes, exactly. We're both into that. And so Linda, it's been such a pleasure and amazing work you do, but it feels like a real sisterhood that we've been talking.
Yeah. Thank you. I've just enjoyed every second, Christine. So thank you for your time. Thank you for
bless
your sharing.
You.
Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for all the tools that you've shared.
Bless you. Thank you, Linda. All thank right. you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.